Has it ever felt like you're doing everything right? You're eating healthy, you're working out, and yet your energy still crashes, or your mood swings hit out of nowhere, like a twist in a crime story that you didn't see coming. Listen, I've been there too, and what I've discovered is that many of these issues could be tied to hormonal imbalances, like a hidden criminal lurking in the background, throwing everything off track. But here's the good news. This is one mystery that you can solve with Happy Mammoth. There's no need for a long investigation. Just take the free 2-minute quiz from Happy Mammoth. You answer a few questions about what you're experiencing and where you're at in life, and you'll uncover the real culprit behind your hormonal symptoms. And the best part? After taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help you balance your hormones so you can finally feel like yourself again. According to a survey, after taking Hormone Harmony, 86% of women started to lose weight. 77% said that it improved their mood. And the biggest benefit? 100% of women surveyed said they're feeling like themselves again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code ATTWG at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code ATTWG for 15% off today. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions that you wish to ask. And then she can either type a response or use their voice-to-text feature, and mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy. It's something that you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. And this is something that Ethan and I had been thinking about doing with our parents. We have this podcasting equipment, so we wanted to find a way for them to tell their story. But I love this because it's so regimented. They send them a question every week, and it just makes it really easy and turnkey. And it just seems like a great way for us to get our parents' stories down so that our children and our children's children can have them. So if you're interested, check out mylifeinabook.com and use code ATTWG at checkout for 15% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code ATTWG for 15% off today. Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges, from sleepless nights to stress-filled days. Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends that they'll deliver discreetly right to your doorstep. And you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code ATTWG. It is wild how different each one of their gummies feels. Their sleepy time gummies knock me out in about 15 minutes flat with no hangovers, no grogginess, and I just wake up feeling amazing. Oh, and the epic euphoria gummies, they're perfect for those days when nothing's going right and you just need to hit the reset button on your crap mood. What makes these different is how they pair THC and other cannabinoids with herbs and adaptogens. You're not going to just find gummies like this in a dispensary, or anywhere for that matter. And they have gummies for literally everything. Immune support, menopause relief, PMS symptoms, mental clarity, and sexual arousal. And each one is crafted using federally legal cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no BS, and they can ship to most states in the U.S. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with an industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but, as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code ATTWG. So head to mood.com, browse their amazing selection of functional gummies, and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember to use promo code ATTWG at checkout to save 20% on your first order.
Darkcast Network. The light shines brightest on our indie podcasts.
Hey everyone, it's Kona. I am coming to you with something a little different today. The episode that I'm working on isn't quite finished because I got some new case information about it that I want to make sure to include. So because I wasn't quite ready for release this week, I am bringing you another podcast. It's one of my favorites. It's another Darkcast Network podcast. It's called Crime Diner. It's a lot different from ours, but it's a lot of fun too. When I put on other podcasts, I try to do missing persons episodes. This one is not that, but it is my favorite episode that they've done. It is called Witch Please. And this episode actually made me a little angry when I heard it, because it's the same anger that I got when I was watching Drunk History and I learned about things that I should have learned about in school and I never did. And I was learning it from like this ridiculous show on Comedy Central. This is exactly like that, because this episode is about an all-female group of military aviators of the 588th Night Bomber Regiment. They terrorized Nazis and they were called the Night Witches. They're female pilots who murdered Nazis. Like, how has this not been made into 100 movies already? I don't understand how I had never heard of this before. So it's a really great episode. You know, you learn a little bit. Like I said, it's different, but I highly recommend it. I know that banter in podcasts is a very polarizing topic, so I will tell you that they do have banter at the beginning, because the whole thing with Crime Diner is they tell these stories in a dinner with friends setting. So the beginning of every episode is about the dinner, and it's, you know, them telling stories about their lives, et cetera, et cetera. So if that's not your jam, just fast forward, because I promise you, like, the actual Night Witch's story is totally worth it. But if you don't mind a little banter, definitely listen, because it is absolutely hilarious. So this is going to be our episode for this week, Witch Please by Crime Diner. This is a Darkcast Network show. Please be sure to check out all of the Darkcast Network shows and support indie podcasts like ours. We'll post the link to the site where you can find them all and, you know, put a few new listens in your podcast app. But thank you for your patience with us getting this next episode ready of ours. And we will be back with our regularly scheduled programming next week. In the meantime, enjoy Crime Diner.
Warning, the following podcast may occasionally contain strong language and material that is not suitable for all ages. If you are easily offended, it is highly advised that you turn back now. However, if you're a degenerate, welcome, brethren. You've found your home.
Welcome to the Crime Diner. Here, we feast on food, drinks, true crime, cults, mysteries, and a charcuterie board of weird shit. We do this within a Dinner with Friends theme. I'm Nydia.
I'm Dana.
I'm Cindy.
This is about to get chatty. We're about to get our chat on. We're friends. We haven't seen each other all week. We're getting together for dinner. We're going to tell each other a horrible fucking story. And if you don't like any of that shit, I suggest you refer to the timestamps and skip directly to the story. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
That's right.
It's you're missing out.
You are missing out. I've had some feedback.
Have you?
And people are appalled that someone is using the timestamps.
I mean,
but if that's for you, hey, this is a judgment-free zone.
If you want to disappoint people,
it is a judgment-free zone.
Full of judgment. If you want to use the timestamps,
it's your loss.
Hey, listen.
Sorry about it.
I can't tie your hands on this.
That's right.
But let me just tell you what you're missing out on. Because last week on the Crime Diner, on this very podcast, I told you about the High Priestess of Blood, Magdalena Solis, and her cult. She was a ruthless killer who was quite literally a man-eater.
Oh, yuck. Yeah. I was really interested in that story last week. And as I was eating my leftover...
Tell me you weren't eating liver.
No. Ew, no. Never. No, I was eating my margarita cheesecake or cake or whatever Cindy made last week.
Yes.
When I was eating that on the couch a couple days later, I was thinking about your bloody murderous deity.
Was she, though? I like to think that I'm a god.
Oh, well.
Oh, no. Oh, remember, baby. I'm the goddess because yes. I am fully planning on creating a church about me.
Oh, I didn't know this.
Wait,
I want the tax-free options.
Oh, that's right.
Wait, what?
She wants tax-free status. That's a cult, babe.
Yeah.
It's not a cult. Remember, if I need the tax-free status, it cannot be a cult.
It's a church.
Take me to church.
I'm feeling like somebody's coming in on my turf and I'm cracking my neck. Because ever since I was a wee little one, I've been wanting a cult.
Here's the thing. There needs to be the cult leader that leads you to the god.
It ain't neither.
I am the goddess that works.
Oh, okay.
So we worship you.
Exactly.
This feels like a cult of one.
I feed y'all.
But I'm the
what
leader.
Y'all need.
I'm still the leader. As long as I'm still the leader.
I'm not coming to this cult.
Okay. Anyway, see, this is the kind of shit you can be missing out on.
That's
if you
right.
go to the time.
So today, I'm going to tell you what Nazi soldiers on the Russian front feared more than anything during World War II. It started with the soft whooshing of the wind off the struts of a poorly rigged biplane bomber. It was an eerie sound. A sound that made them think of a witch's brew. The gliding may have been quiet, but it brought nothing but destruction. This episode, I'm going to tell you about Die Nachtecken, the Night Witches.
I want to be a Nachtecken.
You do want to be
one. I am a Night Witch, though.
You do want to be one. You're going to love this story. I'm so excited to tell you.
Let me just tell you, Die Nachtecken.
Yeah.
That... It made my hair stand up.
It should, because these are some bad bitches.
They're women?
Yes.
Stop.
Yes.
Ooh, okay. Let's eat real quick.
Yeah, let's go.
So we're going to tell you that story, but first, the food. Let us pray. Bless us, O patrons, for these thy gifts, which we are about to receive from thy donations through Patreon every month under the power of the V
Podcast.
Cult.
What do we have here?
Ooh, wait a minute. That smells really spicy.
Does it?
Well, like,
it has smells flavor.
Like, yeah, flavorful.
Yeah, it smells flavorful. Is there like a huge clove of garlic just like roasted in the corner?
It is a whole head of garlic
that was
cooked into it. Yeah.
Where the fuck is it?
Over there.
Holy shit. That's a whole head of garlic.
So what do we have happening here?
This is called, it's a one pot meal from Russia. It's called plov. P-L-O-V.
Mm.
It can be made with lamb, beef, or any other meat. This time I decided to do chicken, keep it a little lighter. The recipe came from Aliana's Cooking. She is Ukrainian, but the recipes that she uses are from her Russian and Ukrainian family.
Mm.
So both dessert and dinner come from her.
Amazing.
Tonight.
Let me just say that this is the nicest your voice has ever sounded.
Apparently, I need to be
very
toasty.
She's a shot of tequila.
I mean.
Sounds sweet and pleasant.
That's working for me.
This smells so fantastic.
It really freaking does.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Is it rice?
It's jasmine rice.
Okay.
She had me at jasmine.
I see like little shreds of like carrots or something.
Carrots. Julienne carrots.
Is there chickpeas or mushrooms or what is that?
No.
What's this right here?
Chicken.
Just chicken?
It's just chicken.
Mm, okay.
Some brown chicken?
It's dark meat, bitch.
Yes, it is the dark meat. I use skinless, boneless thighs because they tend to have a little bit more fat
on
them.
Do.
And thus, they don't become as dry
you
as
love
boneless.
Love a fatty thigh.
I love a fatty thigh, but not as much as Dana, clearly. She just loves to eat that thigh.
Plov?
Plov.
Plov. Plov.
I dig it. It's very fulfilling. like, you know.
Is fulfilling?
I mean, like, it fills you up.
Filling.
It's filling.
It's filling.
And it's fulfilling. When you have a whole head of roasted garlic, that is fulfilling of my soul. Every time, without fail.
The acid reflux would disagree with you.
I mean, garlic doesn't do that to me. Some things do, but garlic doesn't do that to me.
Garlic gives me a little bit of acid reflux, but I tamp it all down like my feelings.
When I was a little kid, my mom used to say, green peppers repeat on me. And I was like, that's a weird thing.
Repeat on you?
I didn't ever heard that before. And then like now as an adult, they do. They repeat on you. And I was like, I don't like that.
No.
And I really wish they wouldn't do that because I love green peppers. I don't like them 2 hours later when I'm like, I just had green peppers again.
You know, once you reach a certain age, I like to call it the middle age.
I think it's fucking rude that you keep saying that. I think it's rude that you send me TikToks about being middle age. I think the whole thing is fucking ignorant and I've had my fill of it.
Well,
she's been fully attacking us with violence with the middle age thing. And that TikTok was just hostile that you sent us.
It's rude.
I sent them a TikTok that said that most people die between 70 and 75. Or 80.
Yeah.
And so 35 to
45.
45 is middle age.
I just thought it was rude. And I think you're a rude person. You should check your privilege at the door, bitch. I've had my fill of it, if I'm honest.
So now I'm making an educated guess. Dana is lactose intolerant right now. She... that's about right.
Yeah.
Peppers repeat on her.
They do, yeah.
And onions give her the...
Onions don't bother me either.
Really?
I know they bother you, but they don't bother me yet. I love onions. I love garlic. That stuff doesn't bother me.
It is
cream-based things, too, sort of, and green peppers for some odd reason.
If I eat onions, I'm going to be farting for at least 3 days.
That's terrible. Now, I will tell you this. I got to work this morning. My first guest was a 100-minute service.
And Dana is a massage therapist.
I had two services with her, so it was going to be 100 minutes I had her in the room, that's a long service. It was a long time.
Hell yeah.
And she was an older lady. She said she was 76 years old. And she was like, I just like to let my massage therapist know that for whatever reason, massage makes me gassy. And I was like, I'm sorry. Okay. And like for me, you know, I have an aversion to gas and people with gas. I don't like it. But I have to be professional and be nice. So I was like, it's fine. It's no big deal. Meanwhile, I'm seething from the inside. Like, bitch, if you think you're going to come in here and fart on my fucking table, I'm going to fight a 75-year-old. I'm going to do it. I'm a fighter. She didn't fart though, thankfully, because I didn't smell them. I keep my mask on all day, so it's not that big of a deal. But like, I was like, this room is too small and it's COVID. You can't be farting in here. Okay. There could be gases. I don't know. It has not been proven that is not how it's been transferred. Dana, I don't want that happening here.
Dana is making the claim right here.
You've heard it here first. That there could be COVID in a fart.
There could be. You could be breathing in COVID through a fart.
Has anyone tested it?
Fuck.
Fuck. Thank you. Thank you.
Damn. I think I have totally smelt up a whole ass COVID.
It could happen. It could happen.
Oh, my God.
Then what? Nobody's known this whole time. That's been why. It keeps spreading and spreading.
Right. Through farts.
Through farts.
I rented a car that smelled straight up like farts. Like the seats had been farted up so much.
I would not take it. I would be so mad about that.
Fuck.
That's annoying.
I drive the county vehicles and they always smell like that.
Why?
They smell like farts.
That's always weird.
Fucking. So she didn't fart?
She didn't fart as loud that I'm aware of. Yeah. Right. I didn't hear it. I didn't smell it, which, you know what? That's all I care about.
God, that's all everybody and cares really, about, really.
I mostly only care about the smell. I mean, I guess if I heard you.
The smell. The sound is a fucking offense, especially if, like, let me just tell you, the worst thing you can do is if you have an argument with your wife, your significant other, girlfriend, whatever the hell it is, and you fart during an argument, fuck you.
You're like, aren't you taking this seriously? Is it your ass taking this seriously? Clearly, no. How rude.
I can't can't stand y'all.
Okay. That rice, jasmine rice, fucking chicken, garlic.
Mm-hmm. Carrots, shredded carrots.
Shredded carrots.
What kind of flavoring is it? Like, what is the...
It's just a mixture of spices that... The recipe told me to put in.
Perfect. Glad.
It sounds
very informative.
Very
love it.
Earthy. Sounds fucking secret.
Sounds like a secret recipe. Check the show notes because the recipe will be there because Cindy's not telling.
Yo, it's cumin. It's coriander. It's paprika. It's a little bit of that. Wait, you know,
Russians know about cumin?
Apparently so.
Well, let me just tell you that this tasted ethnic.
It was good. Yeah.
Fucking it was good as taste hell.
Ethnic, yeah.
It was rich in flavors. Cindy doesn't add a lot of salt to her foods, which I thankfully love.
I added salt, but
you added salt. And listen,
I did, but it was good. Yeah.
I added salt because I keep it very light on the salt, but I like to add the flavor. So
the
depends on the person who needs the salt.
Was there.
The flavor
was there.
Absolutely.
And the smells and the dark meat. Oh my God. Yes, that shit was so good.
Now, what is this drink called?
This is a Moscow Mule.
Really?
Whoa.
It's so good. It's very gingery.
So good.
Is there ginger in it?
It's a ginger beer.
Okay. All right.
It's love a ginger it. Beer. When
I never
our,
had a Moscow Mule.
Our people see it online, it will be taken, the picture will be taken in the classic copper cup.
Wow. Do you have one?
I have one.
Fancy pants.
That I specifically bought for today.
Wait, no. Shush, shush, shush. We're all having copper cups. We're doing the traditional shit. This is fucking good as
it's
hell,
so
by the
good.
Way.
It's so good. It took me a minute to be like, what is that flavor? What is that flavor? And I was like, it's ginger, definitely. It like punches you in the face, ginger.
So fucking good,
really
though.
Fresh, like, tasting.
Yes.
What's in a Moscow Mule?
It tastes like you're drinking a spa, honestly.
Okay. Oh, I'll give you that.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Sure.
It's lime juice, vodka, and it's ginger beer.
Always?
So fucking
that's
good.
It. Nice and simple.
Always ginger beer.
Always ginger beer.
Fuck, I love it.
So the copper cup, I thought, altered the flavor. It actually does not. It just keeps the drink consistently cold.
Oh.
Which you would not think would be an issue in Russia at all.
It's pretty
fucking cold there. Like,
yeah,
desperately cold.
Yes. Have you seen those nipples?
I have, in fact.
They're always hard. The fuck?
You can cut glass. So yeah, you wouldn't think that would be a concern of theirs, but
no,
they like their vodka cold, which I appreciate.
I'm mad at Russia right now.
Why?
You know why.
Oh, sorry about it.
I will say that this is not made with Russian vodka. It's made with Grey Goose instead.
Just because we're not buying Russian things.
Because we're not buying Russian things. And the liquor store that I go to is not selling any Russian products.
Thank you for that liquor store that Cindy goes to.
Yeah. So when I picked today's story.
Right.
I've been wanting to tell you this story for a very long time.
Okay.
About the Night Witches.
I appreciate that. That's a fucking beautiful story, by the way.
Yeah. So while this is a pro-Russian story, it's really a pro-feminism story because the war against women is happening. So I thought I'd tell some stories of some bad bitches.
Yeah.
So that's what's happening here today.
Some men want to take over our uteruses.
Yes.
I think I said it earlier today. The recipes actually came from a Ukrainian blogger. The recipes come
Russian.
From her Russian family.
So would you say this is pro-Ukraine?
Yes.
You
can. Always. This is a pro-Ukraine podcast.
This
Absolutely.
Is always a pro-Ukraine. Keep fucking fighting, Ukraine.
Yeah.
I don't know when this comes out. I hope they win.
It seems like Ukraine is doing a really good job. That's like...
They are
it seems like they're really
handling
like, handling their shit.
Listen... Have you ever been on a schoolyard where there's a fight between a bully and a fucking underdog?
Mm-hmm.
And the fucking underdog takes the bully to town.
Yeah.
I am rooting for the fucking
of
underdog.
Of course, always.
That reminds me. Sorry, never mind. It reminded me of the Eagles.
Oh.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here.
No one cares about that.
That's why I said never mind.
I had a dream.
Uh-oh.
I had a fucking weird dream. First of all, I've had some trouble sleeping.
Yeah.
And,
I think it's your age, babe.
Girl, I have, like, I wake up every hour on the hour. And it bothers me.
That.
Fucking stresses me out so much. And it's because I have sleep apnea. So what I started to do was change my position, what I eat. Like, I've been trying everything because I don't want to go on medication and I don't want all that shit. So what I did was I started meditating before going to sleep. So I have a VR set and there's this app called Trip. And it's just a meditation app. Mm-hmm. It just helps you meditate. So it feels, you feel like you're doing a DMT trip. And I've never done DMT, but like, this is what people describe.
Sure, yeah.
It's just like real trippy and it guides you through meditation. And it's like 20 minute meditation thing. And so I can't do meditation unless it's guided.
Okay.
Because I don't have the patience for it.
Yeah.
So I've been doing meditation and I've been doing it for 3 days now and I have had the best sleep of my life.
That's good.
I feel fucking completely relaxed. I don't feel my body. I had a shoulder pain and like it was like really starting to bother me. Uh-huh. And because I've been exercising too, because I'm trying every fucking thing. Yeah. So that I need to sleep.
Yeah.
I started doing that. I didn't feel the pain.
Amazing.
It was amazing. And I've had great sleep. I'm sleeping the 8 hours that I need to sleep and it was wonderful. But I'm having some really vivid dreams.
Okay.
So the other day I dreamt that I had to pee really badly at an airport.
Oh,
no. Yes, at an airport.
Oh, no.
And so there was an available stall between two stalls.
Okay.
And on one stall, there was a lady that had a very big butt. And my mother always used to say, I want a Kim Kardashian ass.
Your mom
but
used
my
to say that?
Mother, no, oh. I want a Kim Kardashian ass. Like, okay. I want a voluptuous ass. I am not voluptuous.
The body so bootylicious, you would say.
Yes. I want an onion butt that makes men cry.
Gotcha.
And I didn't have that. So.
You don't currently have that?
No, I don't have
that. Okay.
No, I never have.
Uh huh.
I've had a little butt. My butt's small. My butt's small.
Mm.
Yeah, my butt's small.
Mm hmm.
It's not voluptuous like Hispanic women with a big butt,
right.
Like J-Lo or anything like that,
yeah,
right?
It's no
J-Lo butt. It's a small butt. I would call it a bubble butt. Like I had a little bit of a bubble butt. Now that bubble has been burst. But anyway, the point is my mother always used to say when I said I wanted a bubble butt, she says the bigger the butt, the bigger the smell. And so I was in a stall in the middle of two big butted women.
Uh-huh.
Right.
I should have checked this dream before you told it on the
podcast. So I go into the stall and I'm like, fuck, the stall walls, I can see the other person in the toilet next
nightmare
to me
fuel.
On either side.
Uh-huh.
We can see each other. Mm-hmm. We just can't see each other's faces, but I can see their butts. It was waist high.
Okay. This is weird.
So I look over and one girl is pooping and I'm like, oh my God, she's fucking pooping. Let me not fucking look over.
No eye contact.
No eye contact because I can't see her face. It's waist high. The stall walls are waist high. I don't know why I had this dream.
Waist high from the ground up?
Yes.
Okay.
So like
the worst part to be able to see.
So you can see their whole butt and
but
whatever
no
the function they're doing, but I can't see their face.
All right.
And on the other side, same thing. Same situation. Mm-hmm. They're both pooping. And I was like, I really need to pee. It's urgent.
If there was going to be the option, top half, bottom half.
Right.
That seems like the right half.
Yeah, I don't want to make eye contact.
We can't be making eye contact.
No.
We can't all be sitting here with, like, the stall just up to our shoulders and just, like, looking to the left.
Yes, no.
To the right. That would be tragic.
Yeah.
So bottom half only, obviously.
So it was bottom half only. And I'm seeing what function they're doing in the toilet.
But then you could never leave the stall until everybody's out.
Clearly.
I mean, I stand in the stall when it's from ground to ceiling and like wait for everybody to leave. So
yeah, exactly.
Right.
Right. Especially if you're making a smelly.
Yeah.
Right. So the girl next, both girls are making smellies and I'm like in the middle and I'm like, I just had to pee.
Yeah.
So I pee and then we're having a conversation. So when I woke up, the point is that when I woke up, I was horrified. And I was like, why did I have that dream? So then I start analyzing it. And I was like, what did I talk about beforehand that led to that?
Yeah.
Because usually when you have a dream like that, you were like, oh, I had.
Sure.
You know what I mean? These were the thoughts that I had.
So what was it?
So at work, the bathroom, that the teacher's lounge, at the end of the day, there's always somebody that stinks it up.
Made a smelly.
Oh my God, made a smelly. And I just turned the fuck around. I'm like, nope.
No.
No, simply no. I'd rather piss in a fucking bottle than go to that bathroom.
We're not allowed to use the bathrooms in the spa.
Of course,
you know, people are getting changed in there, whatever. So there's like these two bathrooms right outside the spa you can go to. We only have 10 minutes between services. So sometimes you just like run, go to the bathroom, come back. You know, it's real quick.
Right.
But there's this one bathroom that like, I don't know, all the heat goes there. Like, you open the door and it's like you get hit, punched in the face with the heat.
Yes.
And you're like, if God forbid someone is just in there.
Ugh.
You can't even go in there to pee because it's gonna, and then the person behind you is gonna think, and then you have to come out and be like, it wasn't me. It already smelled like that.
Yes.
You can't.
Thank you.
You're just like, I'll run all the way to the other end of the hotel before I use bathroom because it smells, it's hot. It's a hot turd.
Yes.
Even if it wasn't a smelly, it's a hot turd in there.
Even if you had to do a quick pee, you don't want to be blamed for that.
You can't, right? You can't.
You don't. You don't want to be blamed for that. So I go in, I do the smell, and I'm like, yep.
Do the smell?
Simply no. And I walk away and I go somewhere else.
Yeah.
But
you gotta take a hike.
I gotta take a hike. But at the end of the day, all the bathrooms are ripe and you just gotta pick the less ripe one.
So we got a message from a listener / friend / whatever.
We did.
They told us about a dream they had
About us.
Yeah. Do you want to read it?
We're dream girls, but, you know, it's whatever.
So this came through on Instagram and Cindy got it and then sent it to us. And I was like hysterical.
I was like, are we inspiring people's dreams? So this is how it goes. This is what they said. So last night I had a dream that the three of you owned a thrift shop with literally everything. That's also my dream, by the way.
Yes, of course.
You also had an Airbnb attached to it in Alabama.
Keep guessing.
Well, this person doesn't even live in this country. So
yeah, they're from Canada. Canada.
Right. Which feels weird. It's not this country. Isn't that weird?
It is weird. But they probably know that Alabama's
questionable. I love you, Alabama.
Our numbers are not great there anyway. So.
Love you, Alabama. Shout out to the one listener. I went to visit. So, okay, I'm continuing with the dream. Mm-hmm. I went to visit Sierra and I brought my husband for whatever reason. And since we were driving there.
Why would you bring your husband?
I mean, for whatever reason.
For whatever reason.
And since we were driving there, we decided to stay at your Airbnb. For whatever reason, the store was 24 hours and we had a section that was underwater.
This sounds chaotic enough to be our fucking thrift shop / Airbnb.
So she went to our underwater thrift shop.
Our half underwater thrift shop / Airbnb. That's open 24 hours.
I want to be where the people are. That sounds like she was watching
fantastic.
The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Because the Little Mermaid could have opened up.
Could have had a thrift shop.
A thrift shop with all the shit that she found.
Absolutely.
Anyway, back to it. But it didn't feel like it was underwater. Well, that's usually the feeling that we go for with our thrift shop.
Yeah, we want this to feel as much like home as possible.
Right. We're underwater for the location, but we're over water for the comfort.
That's right.
So it didn't feel like it was underwater. People could just walk, but you guys just had a little betta fish in bags hanging from a hook. And I wanted to look at one to buy and accidentally let it out. And it was swimming all over the store. I bought it. I bought a lot of awesome clothes, though. The whole time you guys were recording, too. Whenever someone would buy an article of clothing, it made food appear on your pod table. It was very random and Alice in Wonderland. I'm sorry, who did this?
This was Alicia.
Alicia from Twisted and Uncorked.
Were you high?
Alicia always high? No, I don't think so. Maybe, I don't know. We don't know Alicia that well, but That shit made me laugh so hard because it kept getting weirder and weirder.
Honestly,
and weirder.
It wasn't really that weird.
I sell
vintage shit online. So a thrift store is not that far off.
Okay.
And so the food.
I'm sorry. Whenever you buy an article of something, food just appears on our podcast table.
Well, if you think about it, our patrons pay and we purchase food.
Okay. All right. You've sold me on the dream.
Alicia, you didn't have a dream. You didn't have a fever dream. You had a vision.
You had a full fantasy.
I mean,
a crime diner fantasy.
Listen, that's the goal. Also, I've always wanted to have an Airbnb.
I'm turned on.
I love it.
You're turned on?
I'm into it.
I love it. I love it. Listen, the fact that she had a dream about us, that's a fucking review.
It makes my whole heart. Yeah.
That's a review. Mm-hmm. That's a review. We're making dreams happen for our listeners.
That's right.
It could also happen for you. We had a 1-star review a while back.
Oh, yeah. A couple weeks ago.
It was a coward.
Yeah.
If they left a 1-star review.
It was a drive-by 1-starring. It was so rude.
They didn't even roast us.
Yeah.
Which we were like, simply no.
And we're over here.
Waiting on it.
Making dreams come true.
I mean.
A dream is a wish your heart makes.
Right.
So
right.
Don't give us the 1-star review.
How rude. That being said.
Have a reason for it at least.
Tell us about
right?
it.
So we got a lot of love. A lot
of love.
Y'all
showed out and it was so good.
I mean, they were just so happy with us.
No.
They were ready to fight.
I think my favorite one came through today.
Uh-huh.
That, wait. I'm going to just read it.
Okay.
I know that's your jam at the end of the episode.
No, you do it.
But this one came through today and it made me laugh so fucking hard. Best time ever. You ladies are awesome and you know I love you. Forget the haters and the 1-star warriors. I look forward to hanging out with you every week. I'm here for all of it. All the drinking, the amazing food, the belligerence, the narcissism, and of course, the captivating stories. Love, Lisa. And I was like, narcissism, huh?
Uh-huh.
We should not talk about Cindy that way.
I mean, Cindy is the kindest person.
Cindy's actually really nice, you guys. You wouldn't know it by how rude she is on this podcast.
I mean.
But the shit she says to, she's really kind to us.
She can be a little narcissistic, but she's sweet. I mean,
she's
we know
really
her.
She's sweet. I know you guys don't know her and she comes off really rough on the edges.
Narcissistic, yes.
But she's great. You guys would love her if you got to know her in person.
You just got to get to know her.
Definitely an abusive relationship with y'all.
We're just straight giggling. Can we have dessert?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Let's get dessert.
This is beautiful.
That is. Oh,
it smells so good.
It smells like buttercream.
It smells cakey as fuck.
Hell yeah.
What is it?
So it is a Russian sour cream cake. Same food blogger, uh-huh. Aliana's cooking. And it's called Smetanic.
Mm.
Smetanic.
Yeah. Smetanic.
Yes.
It smells so good.
It smells satanic.
Satanic?
I don't know. Dude, this smells sinful.
It's, oh my God. So what is on the outside of it?
It's actually the crumbles from the trimmings from the edging.
Of course it is.
Yeah. It's fucking cake iced cake. That's what it is. It's cake iced cake. It's fucking cake iced with cake. What's happening right now.
Pretty much.
Like, and a sour cream icing?
It's a sour cream icing.
What the fuck?
And there's sour cream in the cake mix to make it.
Oh my God.
When I was doing the recipe and she said dilute the sour cream and I'm like, dilute with baking soda. And I added the baking soda to the sour cream and then it started to like.
Science experiment.
Yes. Oh it totally God. Became liquid. And I was oh like, wow. Hold on. Can you tell we're drunk?
No, I'm fascinated by this. This is so exciting. I've never had a sour. I mean, I've had like sour cream, like there's like a southern cake yeah. that you put sour yeah. cream in it. And yeah, that's good and fine. But I've never had sour cream in the icing. I've never had like, you know.
Yeah,
there's some shit happening here.
This feels Russian as fuck. I want to
I can't wait to get into
something.
It.
And it's different.
Can
that sounds
can we,
appropriate.
Can we stop talking about any fucking Let's be about it. Fuck.
Let's be about it. What is this cake called? Never mind.
She had a name for it. What is it?
It's a sour cream cake.
Sour cream cake. She don't remember.
Keep it simple.
It was like
Smetanic.
Smetanic.
Yes.
Something tonic.
It's top five desserts on this podcast.
Oh my God. Top five.
Cake iced cake.
Top three for me.
So good.
Fucking so good.
Really, really. It sort of reminded me of carrot cake.
Yeah, a little icing.
Like, yeah, the icing, but it wasn't cream cheese icing. But it had like
cream cheese.
It was a cream cheese.
It's cream cheese and sour cream.
What the fuck? That's a creamy cake.
I was here for it.
I loved it.
That shit was so goddamn good. It had a layer of vanilla cake and a layer of chocolate cake. You cannot go wrong.
It had two layers of vanilla and two layers of chocolate. Yes.
And then in between those layers, it was like a sour cream icing kind of
sweetness.
Oh my. But it was like, it wasn't too sweet. It was just the right amount of
sweet. I loved it.
Fucking so good. And then the, like on the outer icing thing was like crumbles of it. Oh my God.
Crumbly cake.
Just treat yourself.
Okay. And this might become a Moscow Mule podcast.
This is definitely becoming a Moscow
Mule podcast. I love this.
This is the best. One of the top 10 best drinks that we have ever had on this podcast. I am too drunk to drive at this point.
It is refreshing.
Fucking so refreshing.
It's tasty. It's fucking flavorful.
So tasty. So flavorful.
I really like it. Is there mint in there?
I added the mint mostly because I wanted it for the...
Just zhuzhing it up?
Just zhuzhing
just
it up.
Just a zhuzh.
Pew, pew, pew. It was amazing.
Not part of the recipe. I just added it for freshen up.
Oh, my God.
Thank you
It's almost like you, like, know what you're doing or something.
I'm so drunk.
Well, can you get it together for a story? What do you think? Okay, so I have a lot of sources today.
I love it.
History.com, rightmuseum.org, thisdayinvasion.com, warhistoryonline.com, tons of Wikipedia articles, World War II database.com.
Okay.
Lots of sources today.
All of these sources can and will be found in the show notes should you want to research a little further.
The recipes and the drinks are there.
All of our information is in the show notes.
I was going to reiterate that because a lot of people are always asking about the recipes.
Right.
And yeah, they're in the
show
notes.
Make this cake, y'all. It's so good.
Fucking please make this cake.
The other thing I will tell you is while I have a lot of sources and this is, I'm going to tell you a lot of information. I listened to a podcast. It was an isolated podcast called The Night Witches.
Oh.
It was like an 8-part podcast and it followed different women throughout World War II. And it was so good. And each episode was only like 30 minutes. You should listen to it. It was really, really, really well done. Really, really, really good. It was called The Night Witches.
Anytime you say Night Witches, I'm fucking here for it.
I'm so glad.
It could be a Night Witch podcast, a Night Witch book, a Night Witch fucking pajama set. You tell me what Night Witch to listen to.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
So I'm going to tell you about a group of badass Russian women who scared the shit out of Nazi soldiers.
I fucking live.
So badly.
Oh my God.
That if a Nazi were to kill one of these women, they were automatically awarded the Iron Cross, which is like one of the highest Nazi honors.
I want to be a Night Witch.
You're going to love this story.
Oh my God.
I've been wanting to tell you this for so long.
Oh, I'm here for it. I'm listening. I'm on pins and needles.
Good. So we're going to talk about the Night Witches. Now, before I tell you how fucking awesome they are, let me tell you how we got to the point where we needed a whole female regimen to help defeat the Nazis.
Well, you know what? If daddy can't fucking fix it, bring the mamas in.
That's right. Picture it.
I'm picturing
Communist Russia, 1930s.
Still communist.
Yeah.
But go on.
Good old Joey Stalin. He's the leader of Russia. He's drinking his days away, bopping around, killing and banishing aristocrats or any regular old person.
Whoever crosses his path.
Yes, exactly. Oppose him or challenge him in any way. I don't know what you know about Stalin, but he's not a really good dude.
No, he's really not.
It is estimated that under his regime, something like 20 million of his own people died, either because he killed them directly or they died of conditions under his rule. Famine, forced resettlement, or labor camps.
Wait a minute. What was that number again?
20 million.
He was a busy boy.
Yeah. This was like before World War II.
What?
Like before and after. Like, but many, many, many Russians were killed under Stalin before World War II even popped off.
Oh.
I mean, millions of people.
That's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
I know numbers.
It's a lot.
Millions.
20 million.
Millions.
Yeah.
Come after thousands.
That's a story for another day.
Jesus.
I'm telling you this because it's important to know that many, many, many able-bodied men were killed before Germany ever tried to invade Russia.
Right.
Now, let's talk about the invasion of Russia for a second. As some of you may know, Germany was on a literal warpath, overpowering every damn country in Europe.
Yeah.
Certainly trying to.
Yeah.
Stalin was like, listen here, Hitler. It's 1939.
Yeah.
We ain't in no place to be having a war with you.
No.
We could win if we wanted to, but
if we wanted to.
I'm a little busy killing my own people and shit, starving them to death.
I mean.
Maybe in the 40s, I'll be a little more prepared, but right maybe. Now, not so much. And Hitler's like, yeah, yeah, of course, Joey, no big deal.
Right.
I wasn't planning on fucking with you anyway.
No.
Let's sign this little peace treaty, a non-aggression pact, if you will.
If you will.
And it says that I won't attack you. And you won't get all up in my business when I'm attacking other people.
Don't get up in the face.
And Joey Joe was like, cool, sounds good.
Cool, cool.
I don't give a shit what you're doing in Europe.
Do you?
But Hitler had his fingers crossed behind his back.
He fucking did. I saw it.
Now, you may remember a few months back on an episode called Access Denied.
Access Denied.
That I told you a story about Christina Starbuck, a Polish woman who was a secret agent for the Brits.
Yes, you did. And she was a badass.
She was. And she got information and gave it to Winston Churchill that Germany was going to attack Russia. And Churchill himself told Stalin, watch your back, bro.
Yeah.
Germany's coming for you. And Stalin was like, nah, not my boy Hitler.
Yeah.
We got a non-aggression pact, bro.
Had his fingers crossed.
Meanwhile, 3.6 million Germans tiptoed like Pink Panther style over to the Russian border while Stalin was slacking.
I mean.
On June 22nd, 1941, in what is considered the most powerful invasion force in history, Germany attacks Russia. They get up to the border and all the Germans see that a shit ton of planes are just like lying there, chilling in the sunshine. And Germany's like, bet. In less than one day, in less than 9 hours, Germany destroys over 1,200 Russian planes.
What the fuck?
In less than 2 months, Russia loses over 700,000 soldiers, half of their fighter planes, a fifth of their tanks, and four-fifths of their long guns. Germany just decimates parts of Russia.
Not the long guns?
Yes. So almost all of them.
Now they're left with short guns?
Yes. Pistols.
Fuck. Pew, pew.
So I won't go into a blow-by-blow of the invasion and the subsequent war.
Right.
We all know how, you know, the subsequent war happened.
We know how it went.
We all know how it turns out.
Right.
But German soldiers were fucking ruthless. And for about six months, they murdered Russian families. They burned villages to the ground. They captured and starved civilian prisoners, some of them resorting to cannibalism just to survive. Kids were in the street just like trying to find rats to eat. It was fucked up.
I love a good cannibalism story, but not when it comes to war.
It's bad. I say all of this to you for two reasons. I want you to understand that the main reason Russia was not immediately conquered by Germany, like many of the smaller countries like Poland and France and whatever, because of the sheer number of bodies that the Russian army could throw at the war. Like, I mean, they had so many citizens and still do.
Right.
Like, you know,
and ready and willing men to go fight.
Want to fight, yeah.
Yes.
The other thing that I want you to understand is that many of the women that I'm going to tell you about in this episode watched their loved ones get killed by Germans.
Right.
Watched their homes be destroyed. They were raped by German soldiers. It was brutal and they were fucking pissed.
And they had nothing to lose.
They had nothing to lose.
Fuck it. I'm here for it.
Now, Not only were these women needed by their country, but they wanted to fight. Let me tell you how Russia was kind of cool.
How were they cool?
They were all about women having equal rights.
Listen, I'm here for that.
Sorta. But
Not sort of.
When I say that, women were able to do a lot of things that men could do. And one of those things was learn to fly.
Well, women can do anything that men can do.
Yeah, but they're not always allowed to.
They're not always allowed to, but they can do.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you first about Marina Roskova. She was born March 28th in 1912. And it was not always Marina's dream to fly planes. She wanted to be an opera singer like her father. When she was 7 years old, her father died from injuries sustained from being hit by a motorcycle.
A motorcycle?
Yeah. It's a little like motorcycle.
Got it.
She continued her drama and singing studies, but later she fell victim to a middle inner ear infection. It left her unable to like sing properly. I guess she couldn't like pitch notes or whatever. I don't know about singing.
Oh, wow.
But like, you know, it fucks up whatever. So she decided to quit music and devote her studies to chemistry and engineering in school. After graduation in 1929, she started to work at a dye factory as a chemist. She met a man there, an engineer named Sergei Roskov, and she married him. Together, they had one daughter named Tanya in 1930. The following year, she started in the Aero Navigation Laboratory of the Air Force Academy as a draftswoman. In 1933, Marina Roskova, so his last name was Roskov, and she added the A. I don't know how it works in Russia, but that's what, so her name is Marina Roskova.
Right.
She joined the Soviet military air forces. In 1934, she became the first Soviet woman to qualify as an aviation navigator after graduating from Leningrad Air Force Scientific Research Institute.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah. That same year, Marina also trained to become a pilot at the Moscow Air Club and became the first female pilot instructor at the Air Academy. Throughout the 1930s, Marina Roskova became a superstar in the Soviet Union, often being referred to as the Russian Amelia Earhart.
I love that for
her. Yes. During the 1930s, Marina set a number of long-distance records. Right. So this is exactly what Amelia Earhart did.
Wait, so she was a contemporary of Amelia Earhart?
Absolutely, yeah. Her most famous pre-war achievement happened September 24th and 25th of 1938. Marina was the navigator of an all-female crew. Ooh. And together, they set an international distance record of 4,010 miles, or 6,450 kilometers.
I love that.
The world record was for distance in a straight line without landing when they flew a twin-engine plane named Rodina. The duration of the flight was 26 hours and 29 minutes. And if you remember the episode a few weeks ago called Fight or Flight.
I love that episode.
I told you the planes back then were not so comfortable contraptions to travel in, right? They're very loud. They're very cold. It was so cold that oil froze in parts of the plane. And since all the compartments were separated, like the pilot to the navigator and the mechanics, whatever, they had to communicate with handwritten notes through like slats in the...
Because it was so loud.
So loud, they couldn't hear each other. The plane flight was from Moscow to Komsomolsk, Namur. They were freaking crossing the Siberian forest.
The whole Siberian thing.
With about an hour left of their flight, the women lost use of the radio. Because of this and adverse weather conditions, they missed the airfield at their landing site. They couldn't maintain altitude, so they started throwing things from the plane to lighten the load.
What?
The navigator's cockpit where Marina was sitting, there was no entrance to the rest of the plane. Like, she would have to get in before, like, the flight took off.
Right.
This made her very unprotected if the plane were to crash. So the pilot ordered her to jump from the plane so that she wouldn't be killed because they were going to have to crash land.
I'm sorry. So the pilot had to save herself, whereas everybody else...
No, the pilot told Marina to jump from the plane. Marina, who is the navigator.
Like, oh, okay.
So the pilot tells Marina to jump from the plane. So she does. She throws a parachute on her back. She grabs a few essentials and she fucking beats feet from this plane. Just shoop, right out.
And so everybody else dies?
The other two women crash land the plane.
Right.
And they wait by the plane for 10 days for Marina to trek through the Siberian fucking forest.
Yeah, no.
With almost no food and water.
And no buses.
I mean, there's like, it's literally like frozen swampland.
It's nowhere.
Yeah. She finds the two women standing on the side of the plane, and all three women emerge from the forest and were given the Hero of the Soviet Union Award, which is like one of the highest awards.
Yeah. Of fucking course.
Marina, for her efforts from this... Yes. Whatever, she becomes like she's the Soviet Union's Amelia Earhart.
I'm
like,
still celebrating.
They fucking
her.
Love her. The little girls, like, they just little girls all over Russia look up to her, just like we did to Amelia Earhart. Like, she's a true fucking hero.
Barbie wants to be her.
Truly,
that's amazing. By the way,
yeah. I'm not even like saying to you. She literally jumped from the plane with like matches, in a compass, and like
Siberia.
Chocolate or something. Yeah, literally over like the frozen fucking tundra.
Right.
For 10 days.
Like, and finds her
friends. And finds her friends
people.
Because she, before she jumped out of the plane, she knew where they were going to land because she was a world class navigator.
She fucking found her coworkers. So she, can't find a meeting.
True. I literally have lived in this town since I was born, and I've worked in the town that I've worked in for 13 years, and I drove up a wrong way on a one way today.
I mean,
in a town I've worked in 13 fucking years.
We're not getting medals.
Certainly no.
No.
So the three women, Marina Raskova, Polina Osipenko, and Valentina Grizobova.
Fucking supermodel.
They were the first three women ever to receive the Hero of the Soviet Union Award, ever.
And they're over 5'8". They're Victoria's Secret supermodels.
Some of them are. Yeah, some of them are. By the start of World War II, Marina was arguably one of the most famous women in the Soviet Union. She began receiving letters from all over the Soviet Union from women who wanted to join the war effort.
Hell yeah.
Just like bags and bags of letters, you know?
Women that were fucking done with their men.
Or their men were dying, their brothers were dying, their fathers were dying, like everybody, you know, and that kind of stuff was happening here. Maybe not right at the same time because America didn't get involved quite as soon as Russia did, I don't think, but.
They were like, let me get my hands dirty.
Yeah, these women were pissed. They wanted to help. They wanted to kill Nazis. Their towns had been burned to the ground.
Women always want to kill.
Yeah. So Stalin initially said the war would never get as bad as to need to require women to fight with men. But with the amount of deaths that had happened before the war started, as well as the German attack, women are the answer.
And when women get involved,
the tide turns. Yeah. Now let's
shit gets done.
That's right. Let's not get it twisted. While Stalin did need these women, he also believed that the women's tremendous international propaganda value.
Wait,
was
propaganda?
Yeah. So he was like, it'll look good if we let these women fight.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, look how good our women are. They're so good.
Yeah.
That was a terrible Russian accent. So in October 1941, after much argument from Marina. Okay. So Marina becomes very famous, right?
Rightfully so.
She gets a fucking pipeline to Stalin. Loves her. He thinks he's like, you're the Soviet Union Amelia Earhart. Like, I love it. You're so cool. So she gets like a direct pipeline to Stalin, and she goes to Stalin and she's like, bro, let them fight. They want to fight.
That's what she said. She said, bro.
She said, bro.
She's on the bro basis.
Yeah, she's like, we want to fight. Let us fight. And initially sounds like, girl, chill. And she's like, I'm telling you, it's a good idea.
Yes.
It took only a month, and Stalin was like, fine, you can start a regimen. And in October 1941, Stalin orders the 122nd Compost Air Group, an all-female aviation regiment with Marina Raskova in charge.
And they sent a lot of pads and tampons.
They sent fucking none, truly. Until you hear what happened to these women. Marina took to Radio Moscow. She rallied a call to action, and thousands upon thousands upon thousands of women wrote in saying that they wanted to fight.
Hell yeah.
These three regiments consisted of three different squadrons, starting with 10 aircrafts each. All the mechanics, all the engineers, all the supporting personnel would be women.
Ooh,
everybody.
I fucking love that. Yeah.
In total, about 1,000 women, ages 17 to 27.
That's just the right age.
Fucking babies.
Fucking angry.
Were selected. About 1,000 women.
I love it.
The three regiments were 586 fighter regiments. So that's like the fighter pilots that you see like Snoopy.
Fucking yes.
Yes. The 587. Yeah, I love that. With the red scarf, that whole thing.
Fucking yes.
The 587 daytime bombers. So that's the planes where they're dropping bombs.
Yes.
And the 588 night bombers.
Oh.
The night witches.
Oh, fuck yes.
Ideally, soldiers were trained for about 2 years.
That seems like a long time.
That's a long time, yeah. These women were trained not just how to fly, but how to navigate, how to maintain the aircraft. They had to be a mechanic.
Well-rounded.
In 6 months.
Ooh, that's a short time.
Before they ever got to war, they experienced a devastating blow.
Oh, shit.
During a drill, three planes went up, headed by a skilled pilot named Nadzia Popova, who we'll talk about her soon, but she already had been flying planes since she was like 14 or 15 years old. She was training some other pilots. Two of the planes she was instructing got disoriented in the snow, and they couldn't tell the difference between the sky and the ground. They thought they were pulling up, but they had been facing the ground, and they smashed into the ground.
Oh, shit.
And four of the women were killed before they ever even saw war. You know, combat.
Right.
Nadia, Marina, and the rest of the women took this very badly, and it was sobering for everybody. They were like, holy shit, like,
right,
we could die. Like, I don't think, like, maybe they realized, like, how serious what they were about to step foot into was, you know? Because the Soviet Air Force had, up to this point, only had men, there were no uniforms that fit the women.
Oh, shit.
They were given old men's uniforms, which were always, almost always too large. The women would tear up bedding, old clothes, and stuff them into the boots to help them fit better.
Oh, wow.
There was, like, a story on one of the podcasts where the women were lined up, and they were, like, saluting, like, a general or something.
Right.
And they all went to, like, about face, but all the women turned in their shoes, but their shoes stayed forward because the shoes were, like, so big. It was, like, a fucking joke, you know what I mean?
Aww.
It was really sad because they, like, really wanted to, like, you know, do the best they could.
Right. And isn't that what you want, a willing soldier?
That, like, wants to fight and do the best they can. Absolutely.
Come on.
There weren't any modern planes. So these women were given out of date biplanes that were primarily used as crop duster training planes.
Right.
A pilot would sit up front, and the navigator, who also would be the person, the bombardier, the person that let go of the bombs, would sit in the rear. The planes were fucking death traps. Most of the women called them coffins with wings.
Oh, my God.
The planes were made of plywood and canvas stretched over it.
Stop.
Yeah. If a tracer bullet struck the plane, it would burst into flames.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're fucking made out of wood.
Literally, like, plywood and canvas. Like, you can picture, like, it's truly, like, what we see of, like, Snoopy or, like, you know, that's exactly what it was like.
That makes me lose faith. And airplanes.
It was bad.
I thought, at least metal.
I mean, the men got metal planes.
Fuck the men.
Yeah.
And their metal planes.
So the plane's top speed was only about 90 miles per hour, and it could only carry two bombs, one under each wing. Mm-hmm. The weight of the bombs and the crew would force the planes to travel very low, which made them very easily spottable to the enemy, right? I don't know if that's a word, but that's what I said.
Spottable?
Spottable, is that a word?
I am christening it as a word.
Spotted by the enemy.
Right. No, it's spottable.
Detectable, there you go.
No, it's spottable.
Okay, perfect. I have spotted on my paper. I don't know why I said spottable, but that's what we have.
Spottable is a word.
Because of this, the planes could only fly at night under the cover of darkness.
Love that.
These women were given no parachutes.
Of course not.
Possibly because they flew so close to the ground.
Witches don't need parachutes.
True. Possibly because of the extra weight, or possibly because they had none to spare.
Right.
They had no radars or radios. They had to rely on maps, compasses, stopwatches, pencils, flashlights, like the stars.
I'm sorry, pencils?
Yes, to like figure out where the fuck they were.
Oh, shit.
Because they had no radars. Okay? Like, these women were truly fucking winging it.
They
like,
were on broomsticks.
They might as well have been.
Basically, in other words, they were way better than the men.
Truly.
Because
they had
to
nothing.
Do all of
truly.
That and still be better than them.
And they were still better than them, and the fucking Nazis were shook of them. I'm about
shook.
To tell you. Shook, truly.
Ooh, I love that. Shooketh. They were shooketh.
The cockpits were open air cockpits, meaning the fucking wind and the elements just hit them all in the face.
We can take it.
Many of the
they
women
can take it.
Many of the women could not reach the pedals, so they would have to add blocks and cushions in the seats just so they could fucking reach the pedals in the steering wheel and shit.
I love that because I can barely reach the pedal in my car.
rain, freezing wind, temperatures 40 below, which is like not a thing that we understand here. Okay. 40 below. They would get frostbite just flying the planes. Yeah. If their bare hands touched the fuselage, their flesh would come off. Like, it was so cold. Like, I don't even think I'm, like, describing how cold it was. Like, it was fucking cold.
Yo!
Which was a benefit to them because they're used to being, not that they're used to being that cold, but, right. like, the Germans were not used to it. So, like, initially when Germany attacked Russia, they had the upper hand, but once it really started getting cold. Right.
They couldn't handle
it. They could not
shit.
Fucking handle it. While the Russians were like drinking vodka in their tents, dancing and shit. Yes. And like keeping warm.
I mean.
The Germans were like freezing their dicks off.
And so, that's always been a thing about Russia and right. their wars where they've always benefited right. from their cold weather.
No one has ever successfully overtaken Russia in the history of the world. No one has ever successfully overtaken Russia because of their winters.
Except for Ukraine.
Yeah, but Ukraine
I'm betting
is not,
on Ukraine.
Yeah, but Ukraine is not trying to get into Russia. I'm saying
No,
Ukraine is defending itself from Russia, but no one has ever come into Russia and overtaken them. You know, Napoleon tried and lost in the winter. Germany, you know, Nazis tried and lost in the winter. No one's ever successfully attacked Russia and won. Right.
Wow.
So anyway, it's fucking freezing. The
fucking
one
freezing.
Thing the women did have was a pistol. If they were to crash and they would need it to defend themselves, they were able to. They would always save one bullet for themselves because they would not be taken prisoner.
Wow.
Crappy planes did have some advantages, though.
Okay.
The lightweight planes made it more maneuverable than the German planes. They were able to turn really easily.
Right.
And it made it much harder for Germans to chase them and shoot them down. Okay, because the Germans were good at that. They were, like, chasing people, shooting them down and shit. Being made of wooden canvas, the planes didn't show up on German radars or infrared detectors.
Of course not.
Since the plane's top speed was slower than the stall speed of the German fighter planes, they couldn't really chase them around.
They might as well have been on paper planes.
They truly, fucking truly. The biplanes could also take off and land almost anywhere. So they could, like, be in a field, take off, just go. That quality was super helpful because the 588 had to operate very close to enemy lines. They were constantly moving operations during the day so that the women could fight at night. So they were, like, moving all around, whatever.
Right.
Okay. Because of their combat schedule, the women slept and trained during the day and flew at night. They didn't get a lot of sleep, but guess what?
What?
Neither did the Germans.
Oh, yes.
The units nearby would prepare for the nighttime raids. The psychological effect of the night witch raids took a toll on the Germans.
Yeah.
Okay. Because their planes could only carry two bombs.
Uh-huh.
The night witches flew multiple bombing sorties from 8 to 18 in a single night. A sortie is a mission. That's what they call their missions.
Oh, shit. Okay.
They would fly 8 to 18 in one night.
Ooh,
okay,
shit.
So I'm going to explain to you what they would do. They drop... Okay.
We don't hear enough about this shit. I'm sorry.
It's so fucking cool, fucking too, because cool. It's so cool. They would drop two bombs. They would leave their base. They would fly out, drop two bombs, turn around, refuel, take two more bombs, and fly off and do it again over and over and over. And I'm going to get
18 times.
Yeah, between 8 and 18 times a night. What? And they would just do this shit all fucking night long while the Germans are trying.
Yeah.
They can't sleep because they're constantly being bombed. But I'm going to get into a little bit more detail about that in a second.
Shit.
Each sortie lasted 30 to 50 minutes. And sometimes the women would return with their planes fucking riddled with bullets.
Shit.
Yes, bitch.
I'd be down for that. I'm sorry.
Nadia Popova, one of the most famous.
Nadia.
Yeah.
Fuck.
One of the most famous night witches once returned from a sortie with 42 bullet holes in her plane, as well as in her helmet and her map. Like, they just were fucking attacking her. Yes. We're going to talk about her a little bit. Another pilot lost the entire bottom of her plane from enemy fire and just kept fucking flying. Like, these women didn't give a shit.
They kept fighting.
Yes.
Fuck, I love them. Fan club right here.
For real. Each mission was extremely dangerous because the Germans surrounded what they thought would be like likely targets with searchlights and flak guns that the women would have to fly through to reach their targets. So this is what they would do. They outsmarted the Germans. They would fly in groups of three planes. Uh-huh. Okay. When they neared their target, two planes would fly through the circles, like veering off between the spotlights.
I wish you could see Dana's hands.
The third plane would cut their engine.
Right.
and just glide in silently.
Ooh, like a kite.
Like a witch on a broom. And that's where they got their name, because it was this faint whooshing sound of just the fabric just gliding. Great.
Fuck. And I forgot that they were wood and fabric. Yes.
And the Germans didn't know where they were coming from. There's no lights. There's nothing. They can't see them.
Fucking
so the
love
two
it.
Other planes are just flying around. They're shooting at them.
Right.
And the other plane just glides in at fucking, I'm going to tell you, like 1,800 feet and what? Just fucking drops bombs on them.
Yes.
The women would then restart the fucking engine and take back off. Sometimes the engine wouldn't start. The navigator would have to climb out on the motherfucking wing.
What?
Start the fucking engine and fly off before the plane hit the fucking ground. Bits. And then that plane would take off into the spotlight, and one of the other planes would turn around, turn their engine off, and then go in and drop their...
And keep doing it.
And then the third plane would do the same thing. And then all three planes would go back. They would load up with two more bombs each and go out on another fucking mission. All bro. Night long, bro.
Fucking
night long.
Fangirling here.
For real.
Wow. They were fucking them up.
Yo, they would fly from 4,000 feet. They would drop down to 1,800. Because if they dropped any lower than 1,800, right. the bomb shrapnel could come up and hit
right,
them.
Right, yeah.
So they had to maintain with no engine.
Right. And just fucking glide.
With no engine, no radar, no, with fucking map and a pencil, like, that feels about like 1,800 feet.
Yeah.
And then start the, and if the engine didn't start, pop out onto the wing.
That's right.
Lawnmower right that out shit. There. Pull the fucking lawnmower
That's
crank.
That's right.
And start the plane engine and fly back up. And then do that 18 more times. Totally crazy.
Our tits don't stop us from doing anything. Give us a chance.
The navigator would be the one that would drop the bomb, you know. I'm just like saying all of this shit. Like we're reading my paper.
I am here for all of this that you are speaking out of your mouth.
I'm so excited by you. I have no idea.
Amazing.
All the women on the ground crew would repair the damages. They would refuel the plane. They would load more bombs. And I'm telling you, when I'm saying they're loading more bombs by hand, these women are picking up hundreds of pounds,
of course,
loading them on the plane by themselves. There's
Absolutely.
No men.
No. I want a Night Witch t-shirt so bad.
Oh my God, I know.
I've worked with a lot of Russian women in my past, and I've got to say, this does not surprise me about them.
Not even a little bit.
No.
Nope.
Aside from dropping bombs on the Germans, the women had another mission.
Oh, on top of that?
Yeah. To disrupt the Germans' sleep. The Germans were expected to march like something like 30 miles a day.
Right.
So they would sleep at night. Not while the witches were on duty. Hell no. We ain't sleeping. You ain't sleeping, bitch. Nazis could not believe that the enemy that was giving them the most trouble was a bunch of fucking women. Like, they just couldn't fucking believe it.
I love it.
Obviously, I can't tell you about every single witch.
Right.
But I want to tell you about the few. You know, some of the most
Please
known
do.
And I'm telling, if you just Google night witches and then just like go on a wiki rabbit hole, like, I mean, there's thousands of them. Their stories are so different. They're so, go listen to the Night Witch podcast. They only cover five witches.
There's an actual podcast on this?
Yes, bitch. I already told you.
No. Like dedicated to the Night Witches?
Dedicated. It's 8 episodes. It's called The Night Witches. And they just like follow like a couple of the witches.
Oh my
God. The women. I shouldn't call them witches,
right.
But yeah.
But we are witches.
Yeah. So, but
proud
go
and
listen.
True.
Go listen to that podcast because
right.
it was so good. It was really well done and it covered a lot more
I love this.
Detail about their lives, their love lives.
Love
like,
it.
Personal shit. It was really, really good. There's tons of books written about this. It's so good.
I never heard of this.
Yeah. YouTube videos. Like,
oh my God.
Truly. I can't tell you about every single one of them, but I will tell you about a couple of them. Nadia Popova is probably the most well-known besides Marina Raskova. Nadia was born December 17th, 1921. She grew up near coal fields in Ukraine. Or near Ukraine.
Okay.
In Russia.
When Ukraine was part of Russia.
I think it was Ukraine still. I, you know what, don't quote me on that, but near Ukraine, near okay. where Ukraine is now. When a small aircraft landed in her village, she became enamored with aviation, enrolling in gliding school at age 15 without telling her parents.
Oh, shit.
In 1937, she made her first parachute jump and her first solo flight at the age of 16. Despite her parents' opposition, she pursued her new passion and obtained her flying license. Fucking 16 years old.
I love that for her.
She was initially rejected as a student from a pilot school. But after Polina Osipenko, you may remember her from the flight with Marina that she crashed in the Siberian. She was on that same flight. Yeah. She was the pilot. She recommended Nadia for the school, and she was eventually accepted. She graduated at 18 and became a flight instructor. Some of these girls had been flight instructors before they ever, you know, but she's 18 years old.
I love this.
Okay.
So much.
She hears the call of action over the radio from Marina, and she wanted to fight. Her brother had recently been killed at the front lines in 1941, and her home had been overtaken by German soldiers.
I love female patriotism.
She wanted in. She wanted in the war. She wanted to kill Nazis. I love that for her. Her mother was devastated. She did not want her to go to war. She was sobbing on Nadia's bed as Nadia packed up her bag. And then all of a sudden, she started laughing. And Nadia's like, why are you laughing? Her mom had looked in the suitcase and saw Nadia tried to pack her childhood doll to bring with her. And her mom's like, you can't take that to war. You're 18 That's years so old. Cute. Like, so her mother gave her a brooch, and she wore it for every single flight she ever went on.
Did she bring her baby doll?
She did not bring it, no.
What?
Because her mom was like, honey, no, you can't bring a baby doll to war.
Yes, she can, though.
When Nadia was 19 years old, she was the one who was training the girls who were killed. They crashed the plane in the very beginning of the story.
Okay.
She was only 19 when she was training them. So she was devastated. Oh, she was really, really heartbroken over this. After training, she was sent to fight near where she grew up, near the coalfields by Ukraine.
Right.
And she was devastated by the destruction of her hometown. Initially, she didn't know where her family was, but she would later find out that her parents had been evacuated and survived. Nadia was shot down several times in the 3 years she spent fighting, but was never badly wounded. On August 2nd, 1942, she was on a daytime reconnaissance mission.
Okay.
When she was attacked by Luftwaffe fighters and forced to make an emergency landing.
Wait, what kind of waffles?
They're like German waffles.
Okay.
Trying to return to her unit, she joined this motorized column, like a throng of people that were like walking, I guess. And among them, she would meet her future husband, fighter pilot Simon Karlamov. As Axis forces began their retreat, her unit followed through Belarus, Poland, and eventually entering Germany. It was in Poland that she reached her personal record of 18 sorties in one night by herself. Or, you know, with her and her
navigator. Right, with the bombings and all that?
Yeah.
Okay.
In a total, Nadia completed 852 missions in the war, and she was not even 23 years old by the end of the war.
Oh, my God.
Next, I want to tell you about Lydia Litvajek.
So, Nadia and Lydia.
Yeah. And there was Katya. And there was,
close to my
there
name.
Was lots of, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Lydia was also known as the White Lily of Stalingrad. She was born in Moscow on August 18th, 1921. During the Great Purge, this was Stalin getting rid of a bunch of any of his opposition.
Right.
Her father was arrested as an enemy of the people, and he disappeared.
Oh, no.
Lydia became interested in aviation at the age of 14. She performed her first solo flight at 15 and later graduated from military flying school. She became a flight instructor. At the time war broke out, she had already trained 45 pilots before war even broke out.
Male or female? Just
I guess
in
male.
General.
Yeah, like people in the flight school. After the Germans attacked the Soviet Union, she tried to join the military aviation unit, but was turned down due to lack of experience. So.
Oh, but she was experienced enough to instruct.
Right.
Okay.
But she hadn't had enough hours.
Got
so
it.
She exaggerated.
She lied on her resume.
Pre-wartime flight by 100 hours.
Oh,
and
shit.
She was able to join the all-female 586 Fighter Aviation Air Force Defense. This is the like, that those people. She trained in
Okay.
She trained in a Yak-1 fighter with a White Lily, mistakenly as a rose, painted on the outside of her plane. So that's how she got the nickname the Lily of Stalingrad.
Her name was that.
Lydia Lily.
Love that.
In 1942, she was assigned to the 437 Fighter Regiment, a men's regiment fighting group over Stalingrad. So she joined a bunch of men. Like, it was a co-ed situation happening.
The only girl.
No, there was other women in there, yeah. Some of the women got to fight with the men because they were good. September 13th, 3 days after she arrives, and on her third mission covering Stalingrad, she shot down a Ju-88 bomber and an unidentified fighter, marking her first and second kills of the war, making her the first woman fighter pilot to shoot down an enemy plane. During her combat career, she scored 11 solo kills and 3 shared kills. And many German pilots she shot down were shocked that they were shot down by a woman. Some of them wouldn't even believe it until they were brought in front of her and she would give them a blow-by-blow of how she shot them down. She'd be like, at first I did this, this, and this. And they would be like, shit, I guess she did shoot me down. Fuck. Because the Germans would like thought that the Russians were fucking with them. They're like, a woman didn't shoot me down. They're like, no, 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 here she is. And she would come and be like, I did this, this, and this. Fuck, she did shoot me down.
So they would survive it?
Sometimes, yeah. Many times, actually. Yeah. And then they would be taken prisoner of war.
Right, right.
Yeah. And then she would come along and be like, bitch, I'm the one that shot you down. What? Say something.
She'd be like, say it with your chest. I love that. Oh, my God. I love it.
She was a boss, yeah.
That's my kind of story, Dana.
So on February 23rd, she was awarded the Order of the Red Star and made a junior lieutenant and selected as part of an elite air tactic regimen called the Free Hunters. They were pairs of experienced pilots which were targeted for their own initiative. So they would like go out and just fucking shoot people out of the air. Like, on their own. They're like, go ahead, go shoot whoever you want.
Oh, my God.
And she did. So she, like, just killed mad Germans. Like,
I love that. Why isn't there a movie about these women?
I don't know. Like, there was a book that was very popularized, and that's how they became, like, every now and then there's, like, a surge of this being popular. Right. And there was, like, a book that was, like, historical fiction, and it was about, like, Mary Rusko.
But this is real.
This is very real, yeah.
Oh, my God.
This is very real.
Why no movie about it?
March 22nd, she was wounded for the first time. That day, she was flying as a part of a group of 6 Yak fighters, and they were attacked by a dozen Germans. Lydia shot down one of the bombers, but was attacked and wounded. She managed to shoot down another plane and return to the airfield. And when she landed, she had been like shot in the leg, and she was like all gray and like in the front seat because she was like losing so much blood.
Right.
But she was okay. She
survived.
She survived. They patched her up and she got right back out there. She like would not be sidelined.
Oh my God.
While in the 73rd Regiment, she often flew as wingman to Captain Alexei Solomatin, a flying ace. Like this is like,
so this was a man, a male, female?
She would like be the wingman for captain. Wingman. Yeah.
I love that.
On May 21st, while training new flyers, he was killed in front of the entire regiment. Like he crashed the plane like right in, like by accident. And that happened a lot when they were training because they would be training like newbies and they would crash.
Oh no.
Lydia was devastated by the crash and she wrote a letter home to her mother describing how she never realized how much she loved him until he was gone. She was fucking crushed. Lydia scored against a difficult target on May 31st, 1943, an artillery observation balloon manned by a German officer. So it was like this giant balloon. Like, I'm like sort of picturing like hot air balloon / blimp situation.
Okay.
And so this like balloon would be up in the air and the Germans could get like a good lay of the land. And people had been trying to shoot it out of the air and they couldn't for whatever reason because there was all of this defense around it, the German defense. So when people would get close to try to shoot the balloon, the Germans would shoot their planes out of the air, you know?
That's bizarre.
Very bizarre. But Lydia volunteered to take out the balloon. She had been like, she lost everything. She lost, like her friends were dying. She
had nothing to lose.
Her man had died. She was like, I can do this. And initially they were like, girl, sit down. Our best people haven't been able to do it. You're not going to do this. And she's like, listen, I have a plan.
Okay.
I'm going to attack it from the rear. I'm going to fly in a wide circle around the perimeter and I'm going to fly over the German territory. They're not going to see me. Okay. And I'm going to take the plane out. And the guy's like, you know what? Do whatever you want. Go for it.
Whatever.
She fucking does it. She takes down the plane. Takes down the balloon. Yeah. The tactic worked. The hydrogen-filled balloon caught fire under her stream of tracer bullets and was fucking destroyed. This was a huge deal because this balloon was getting a lot of information about where they were and like tactical information. June 13th, 1943, Lydia was appointed flight commander of the 3rd Aviation Squadron within the 73rd Guard. On August 1st, 1943, she does not come back from a mission. This was after her 4th mission of the day. So she'd already been out 3 times. She went out, she did some fighting, she came back. On her 4th mission, she doesn't return. She had been escorting a flight of ground attack aircrafts. And she just doesn't come back. As they were returning to base, a pair of BF-109 fighters dove on Lydia while she was attacking a large group of German bombers. A Soviet pilot, Ivan Borensko, recalled Lily just didn't see them. The 109's flying cover for the German bombers. A pair of them dove on her, and when she did see them, she turned to meet them. They all disappeared behind a cloud. So Ivan was also involved in the dogfight, and he saw her for the last time through a gap in the clouds. Her Yak-1 was pouring smoke and was pursued by at least 8 BF-109s. So 8 other planes were following her, falling from the sky.
Right.
Like they were going after her.
And she was already like...
She was already on fire, right. And she was falling from the sky.
Shit.
Ivan descended to see if he could find her. There was no parachute seen, no explosion, and she never returned from the mission.
Oh, no.
Since her body was never found, they had to presume that she was taken prisoner of war. Since Stalin believed that all POWs were traitors, it prevented her from ever receiving the title of Hero of Soviet Union. So, like, Stalin believed that if you were a POW, then right. You would eventually sell them out. Okay. So you would not be, like, posthumously awarded any medals because, oh fuck God. You, you're a traitor.
Right.
Because you got caught. In an attempt to prove that Lydia had not been taken captive, her friend, Senior Sergeant Ina Pasportnikova, Lydia's mechanic during the time she flew for the men's regiment, embarked on a 36-year search.
Wait, come again?
For
36 years.
It took her 36 years. She looked for...
Not days.
Nope.
Not months. Mm-mm. Not weeks.
She searched around the crash site where she figured she must have crashed for 36 years. She was assisted by the public and the media.
What the fuck?
For 3 years consecutively, she was joined by relatives who together combed the most likely areas where she could have fallen
right.
with metal detectors. In 1979, after uncovering more than 90 other crash sites, finding 30 aircrafts.
In their search, they found 90 others?
They found 90 other crash sites.
Holy Christ.
30 aircrafts, other lost pilots over right. the years. Searchers discovered an unidentified woman pilot who had been buried in a village locally. So somebody had found her body, found the plane,
right.
found her body, took a piece of the wing, took her body, and buried her. Because they knew she was a Russian soldier.
Okay.
They knew she died in combat. And, like, just villagers found her and right. buried her. Like, gave her, like, this
right.
very sweet
Aww.
Funeral. You know, they just, like, found her.
But it wasn't her.
It was her, yeah.
Oh, it was.
It was her, yeah. In 1979, they found her body. It was assumed that it was Lydia because of, you know, what she right, was wearing.
What she
and
was
things.
Wearing.
She had a long blonde braid. That was, like, her signature hair. She had this, like, beautiful long blonde hair. And so when they found her body,
right.
her hair was still there. They assumed that she was killed in action after sustaining a mortal head wound.
Oh, shit.
Ina said that a special commission was formed to inspect the body, exhume it, and it concluded that it was Lydia.
Okay.
On May 6th, 1990, President Gorbachev posthumously awarded her the title of Hero of Soviet Union, which is like, it's such a big deal to them.
Right.
Her final rank was senior lieutenant, and she was 21 when she
Stop.
Died. These women, none of them were, the other girl was 22. Like, these
oh
women were.
Oh my God, they were babies.
They were babies. Like, I'm not sure, like, I'm like, expressing to you
holy
they,
shit
they were 19 20 21 years old they were
also,
younger than our kids like they
I
were babies
I fucking love that for them
yeah
not the death part but
no.
the fucking badassness
yeah.
yes
no let's not forget the mother of the witches let's go back
okay.
to Marina Ruskova
Ooh.
Before she ever saw any actual wartime Marina attempting to lead two PE2s to a safe airfield she was forced to make a landing on the Volga Bank, which resulted in the death of her entire crew on January 4th, 1943. Marina Ruskova was the first state funeral of the war. She died that day before she ever even got to the war.
So she and her entire crew
were killed.
Shit.
Basically, the same thing happened that happened in that training where they got disoriented because of the snow.
Oh, okay.
They couldn't see they like when it snows really bad and you're flying and you lose disorientation.
Right.
They can't tell whether it's the sky or the ground. And she was flying towards, you know, there's mountainous regions
right,
and she
yeah.
thought she was higher than she was and she crashed into the side of a mountain and everybody in her crew died. Her ashes were buried in the Kremlin wall beside her fellow pilot, Polina Ospinkova. She was posthumously awarded the Patriotic War First Class and she was 30 years old at the time of her death.
Oh my God.
It is true that without Marina fighting to allow women to fight for Russia, we would have never had the right. Night Witches. And Russia might not have had the success that they did. I mean, these women fought. The women got their infamous nickname from the Germans, Nachtecken, the Night Witches, meant to be a derogatory term. The Germans believed that the women were supernatural, that the Russians were injecting them with something that gave them superhuman strength, gave them the ability to see at night, like, what the fuck? And some of these women were pissed about the nickname because it felt like it negated their actual abilities.
Right.
But some of the women took the title with pride, and they loved that it scared the shit out of the Nazis. They loved it.
Injecting them with estrogen.
Some of them thought they were, like, injecting them with, like, cat eye liquid and shit. Like, come on, settle down. From June 1942 to October 1945, the unit flew approximately 23,672 combat missions.
Holy shit.
They collectively logged 28,676 flight hours. They dropped over 3,000 tons of bombs and 26,000 incendiary shells.
Wow.
They damaged or destroyed 17 river crossings, 9 railways, 2 railroad stations, 26 warehouses, 12 fuel depots, 176 armored cars, 86 prepared firing stations, and 11 searchlights. They also made 155 supply drops of food and ammunition to Soviet allies. The women knew they were badasses, and they wanted the recognition of the men they fought alongside. They often faced discrimination from male pilots. The men viewed them as inferior and showed them very little respect. The discrimination strengthened their determination to succeed. Eventually, because of their high performance, many of the men did grow to respect them, but the women worked hard to get that respect. 32 Night Witches died in service. 89 Soviet women won the country's highest honor, the Hero of the Soviet Union, during World War II. After the Allies win the war.
Okay.
Right? Everybody's thrilled, right? America, you get the picture of the guy leaning the girl back, kissing her. It's a whole big thing, right?
Rightfully so. Yeah. There were people in concentration camps.
Yes. The Soviets have massive parade. Tanks, planes, people, and music, and so exciting, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fighter pilots are flying the planes over the parade. Guess what?
What?
The Night Witches are not invited.
No.
Their planes are too slow and they're ugly.
What?
We don't want them part of our parade.
What?
Nobody knows about Night Witches for years.
What?
And
the
years
fuck?
And years. I mean, like, so during the war, right? Like, some of the women, like Nadia and Lydia, things like that, they had gotten on, like, magazine covers and shit. Like, they were very.
I hope so.
But, like, after the war was over, it was like, our boys, they did it. And, like,
fuck you, yep. 1930s and 40s and 50s.
Yep. And so we didn't hear about the Night Witches for decades. Nadia lived till 2013. She died at 91 years old.
Fuck
she,
you.
She married Simon. She married her, like, guy that she met on the road.
What?
And yeah, she lived till she was 91 years old till 2013.
What? Girl.
Yeah. And that was like, it was, you know, this story came out a bunch in 2013 because she died. And it was like, she was the last Night Witch alive. Right. Yeah. She lived.
I hope she had grandkids that were like, that's right.
That's right. My grandma was
a Night Witch. My grandma was a Night Witch. Bitches beware.
I have been obsessed with this story. I've been wanting to tell you about it for so long.
Oh my God. I love this story. So I want to be a Night Witch.
You should listen.
I kind of am.
You kind of are. Also, like, I was listening to, like, what these women were doing. So if you listen to this podcast, like, they follow 5 or 6 different women.
Uh-huh.
And they really explain, like, what happened and, you know.
The podcast is Night Witches?
It's called The Night Witches.
Oh, my God.
It's like a purple little, and it's got, like, this weird little plane. And so you'll know it. It's just, it's literally 8 episodes. And each episode's, like, a half an hour. And they follow, like, the women and, you know, they follow Nadia and Lily and
I love this.
And a bunch of Kat. There's a Katya and okay. You know,
of course there's a Katya.
Yeah. And but they talk about, like, all different challenges that they faced, and, like, they go into way more depth of their lives and things that they were doing.
Yeah.
But many of them died. Many of them, like, the one girl is, like, talking about how she wanted to be a Night Witch. She of course, we didn't know they were called Night Witches, right? She just wanted to fight for the airline regiment. And, but she didn't know how to fly. Right. So she stood outside Marina's office for days, like begging to be in. And she's like, I don't know what to do with this. She made her a mechanic. And she worked her way up from a mechanic. And she was like, it's so important to be a mechanic because if anything goes wrong, I want to make sure that my planes, I send my girls out on the best plane they possibly can. So it was like the three of the women, it would be the mechanic, the navigator, and the pilot. They would be like this little crew for one plane. You know, they were like sisters. Yeah.
They were like Salt and Pepper and Spinderella.
Yes, exactly. And they were so like wound up for each other because like one couldn't do the job without the other.
Of course
the navigator couldn't fly without the pilot. Pilot couldn't fly without the neither of them could fly without the mechanic. And they were just less. So anyway, this girl, Katya, she wants to be a pilot. So she works her way up from a mechanic. She becomes a navigator and she's in the plane, you know, behind the pilot, right? Like that's how it goes. Like the pilot's in the front, the navigator's in the back, and the navigator's dropping the bombs.
Right.
And,
Dana's just a little kick.
Because what would happen is sometimes the bombs wouldn't drop and the navigator would have to climb out on the wing and kick the fucking bomb off the wing.
You tried while they were just kicking a bomb.
Yeah, and these bombs are hundreds of pounds, you know?
Right.
And they would, mind you, they're fucking gliding with no engine. They're just gliding. Right. And so she's in the back. She kicks the bomb off. The pilot, they restart, but the pilot doesn't go up and she's like, what the fuck? She realizes that the pilot has been shot in the head. She has to reach over her friend, pull her
body. Been shot.
She's been shot and killed. She pulls her body up and she's flying the plane from the fucking back seat. Pulls her up and then, you know, she doesn't dump her body, which she could have done. She would never do that. That's her girl. It's her sister.
You got to look for her back.
So she brings her body back so that she can be buried with her family. It's so amazing. Like, it's so cool.
I
want
to fucking get a Night Witch's tattoo. I swear to you.
It's so cool. Like, it just makes me be like,
these are the things that I wish I would have learned in fucking school.
Yes, man.
Empowering things that would have made me feel like I don't need to listen to this fucking 16-year-old boy.
Yeah. Yes.
I can fucking be a Night Witch.
Yes. And these girls were, you know, the girls that were running it.
Right.
They weren't even 30 years old. They were like, we had to be mothers to these girls because they were teenagers. They were 17, 18, 19 years old. They were just like, we were barely mothers ourselves, you know?
Yes.
I just thought it was the coolest story.
Yes. I love this so much. I'm so glad you told it. And I'm so glad this existed.
Yeah.
But it makes me sad that, like, I've heard a lot of stories about World War II.
Yes.
And ne'er a time was there a
Why am I just hearing about the Night Witches? I only heard about this like maybe a year ago.
Why isn't there a movie about the Night Witches? I would fucking watch that.
I would definitely watch that.
Yes.
It's a cool story. I think you should listen to this. I mean, fully give them credit. Like I got a lot of information from the sources I said, but like if you want to hear about like these cool, you should, you can listen to it in an afternoon. It's just a couple hours, you know,
it's really cool.
Really, really cool.
Definitely will. I love this story so much. And if you love this story and you stuck with us, that's it for us.
You did it. Great job.
I mean, we'll see you next week, maybe for a second date. And in the meantime, you can subscribe so you don't miss out because we're a little bit awesome.
People like us. We're likable.
I mean, 100 people like us. So subscribe so you don't miss out. We have about 130 episodes in our repertoire. Also, listen, write a review.
Mm-hmm.
Share with a friend.
Do it.
Do the thing. Do your job. All right?
God, you have one job.
I mean, you can listen to us and then follow up.
Yeah.
You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
TikTok?
I was going to say Target. TikTok.
All the socials.
YouTube. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're fucking literally everywhere.
We're like cockroaches. We're on everything.
We really are like cockroaches. So you can connect with us there. And in the meantime, check you out next week. And remember, do not get taken to that second location. Be good or be good at hiding a body. Goodbye.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Are you okay? Oh. Jesus Christ.
You're the fucking loud.
You're disgusting and I hate you both.
Oh,
Now at Verizon, we're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's our best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, we got you. Visit your local Indianapolis Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits apply over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.